Sheldon Kennedy joins us. Really looking forward to this. One of the newest inductees into Canada's Sports Hall of Fame and the co-founder of Respect Group and former NHLer. And Sheldon, appreciate you taking a couple of minutes for us here on a Sunday afternoon. Hope you're well. Hope your family's well. And I was wondering if you could take us inside, take our listeners inside, getting the call to the hall, what that was like and what that conversation was like for you.
Yeah, how are you doing? And, you know, that call was, it was really caught me off guard. I was quite shocked. You know, I never in my wildest dreams thought that Sheldon Kennedy, you know, as a builder with the work that we do, and especially the issues that I represent, would ever, you know, even be a thought going into the Sports Hall of Fame in this country. I really was kind of speechless. I didn't really know what to say, you know, other than, geez, you know, thank you. And I felt a lot of gratitude, and I immediately went into reflection on, you know, all the people that have helped and been with me throughout this journey of, you know, over 24 years.
You know, you've helped so many people, Sheldon, over your career, your lifetime. Is there anyone, like maybe a group of people or any specific person that you think of now that you can like reflect and look back on being inducted into the Canada Sports Hall of Fame?
Well, my best friend and business partner for over 20 years, Wayne McNeil. I mean, he's been with me almost from day one, and you know, just through the thick and thin. And you know, and you know, I think, well, obviously my family, you know, that have stuck with me. But I go back to 1998, you know, when I was doing the rollerblade across this country, and you know, and it was all the people every day, because that was a tough grind. And every day I had, you know, maybe 20 to 25 disclosures or people telling me their story. And, you know, and I really hit me, because it was, you know, the incidences, like the time, place, and the gender was different. But at the end of the day, the impact was very consistent. I mean, you know, people struggling with mental health issues, addiction, anxiety, depression from what happened to them. And that really, you know, I think, I don't know if it's one person, but that event really shifted. It gave me, you know, a whole new perspective on what we were dealing with. We weren't just dealing with an incident. We were dealing with the impacts of an incident, and that is much greater than the incident itself.
And you're talking, Sheldon, about people who've reached out to you, and it's so hard to decide to do something like that, even reaching out, because for a lot of people, they might think they're alone, and it's because it's hard to imagine those things happening to other people, right? Like when you decided to speak out and tell your story, did you ever fear that people maybe wouldn't believe you?
Well, that was probably one of my biggest fears. You know, nobody's going to believe me. And I must be the only one that this is happening to. And how do I explain this to somebody? Because I can't even process it in my own head. And, you know, and I must have done something to deserve it, because, you know, I mean, obviously all these adults around the situation weren't doing anything about it. So, you know, maybe it's me that's all messed up. So, yeah, there was lots that went on. There's a lot of fear. I had a lot of fear. And I realized that, you know, it's once I told somebody what was going on, you know, it opened up almost a whole new can of worms. I thought when I told my story, things were going to get easier and better, and they actually got worse, because, you know, now all of these feelings that I stuffed down inside forever were starting to come out. And, you know, it's like I cracked that door open, and I needed to deal with it. Even though it was unhealthy the way I was dealing with it before, I could somehow manage it. And this seemed a little chaotic to me. So it, you know, there was a lot of fear, and I had thousands and thousands of letters from people that wrote us their story to the Bruins as I signed with the Bruins, or to our office that year, telling us their stories from around the world. So, I mean, I really found out quickly I wasn't alone, and I had a platform to use my voice to try to figure this stuff out and start trying to have a conversation around it.
Sheldon Kennedy is with us, and you talk about it's been 20-plus years, 20, 25 years since you came forward and told your story. And I feel as though, as a society and even in sports, we've made very tangible, positive steps to try and minimize the stigma around mental health and abuse in sports and in society, but it still exists, no question. But in the 25 years since that, that revelation came out and you came forward bravely and told your story, have you noticed and been, I guess, maybe proud that what you've done has maybe empowered and inspired others to be comfortable enough and courageous enough to come forward and tell their stories?
For sure. And, you know, and if it wasn't for sport and if it wasn't for my opportunity to play in the NHL, I wouldn't have had the platform. And, you know, and I looked at it as, you know, I mean, I wasn't a star by any means, but it still gave me a platform to use my voice. But I mean, when I told my story, we weren't even talking about these issues. I mean, we barely talked about mental health, you know, and if somebody was mentally ill, they were put in an institution, and that's the way we talked about it. We didn't talk about abuse. We didn't really even start talking about bullying. I mean, bullying, we weren't even having that conversation. Discrimination, you know, maybe a little bit. But, you know, I look at how far we've come. I mean, when we rollerbladed across the country, we donated our money to the Canadian Red Cross, who had a Respect Ed program, who were able to get in front of over 5.5 million kids across this country with education on healthy relationships and the Respect Ed, so the anti-bullying program, anti-abuse program, and who also wrote the Speak Out program for Hockey Canada. Hockey Canada made it mandatory for every coach, training for every coach across this country back in 1997. And now, today, with our company Respect Group, we've trained over 1.4 million youth leaders, so all sports and coaches and parents and teachers and also in the workplace. So if you look at where we've got to, I mean, when we first started doing this training, I mean, if you had a program in place, like, say, hockey did, I mean, people would look at it and say, oh, those are hockey issues, and, you know, we don't have those issues, and so forth. And if people were looking to sign their kid up for a sport, if you had a prevention program in place, that means you got problems and we're not signing up. Whereas there's been a major shift in our society that says, you know what, if you don't have this stuff in place and if you don't take a proactive approach around these issues, abuse, bullying, harassment, discrimination, and neglect, we're not signing up. So there's been a major shift. And I think, you know, I don't feel that there's ever going to be a finish line to learning and to be better around all of these issues. But we have definitely come a long ways. I think, you know, we've kind of gathered all the bingo balls and they're kind of zipping around all over the place because we don't have a fear of talking about it. I think we just need to get some good clarity and some good structure in place to have, you know, if somebody does decide to tell, we need to make sure we support them. And I don't think we're doing the best job that we can right now.
Do you think then, Sheldon, that the induction of not just you into the Canada Sports Hall of Fame, but also Willie O'Ree, who, of course, overcame issues of race and he broke the color barrier in the NHL, you guys are going into the hall together. Do you think that, I guess, acknowledgement of sorts is important to not just say that it's over, we've reached a certain point, we can move on, but important to continue the work you've both been doing?
For sure. I mean, this, you know, and... You know, and the way I feel about it is that, you know, Sheldon isn't the only voice around, you know, the issues that I've been advocating for. There's many. There's many voices now. There's many people. And I think that, you know, it's awesome. And I think, like, if we look at Willie, he's been doing a great job and he's shifted the thinking and he's making a difference. We our company funded his documentary to be screened in Calgary. And, you know, the theater was packed, the conversation was great. And I think, you know, this work has to continue. And I think, you know, for if you look at the selection committee from Canada Sports Hall of Fame and you look at, you know, the CEO Cheryl Bernard, I mean, good for them. Good for them for saying, you know, we need to look at individuals as builders that have brought a social, you know, a social platform to the table that have helped grow our game. And I think that's been a major shift just on its own. You know, we are now looking at people like Willie and myself and as builders that, you know, we're athletes, but as builders that have, you know, basically brought, you know, social issues, and they've been recognized as being critical to growing our game. And I think that that's awesome.
Sheldon Kennedy is with us, and I wanted to ask you, you know, you talk about your best friend and business partner, Wayne McNeil, and you guys founded Respect Group, and I wanted to, you know, kind of take us back to the beginning, founding Respect Group, and what do you remember about your initial ambitions behind founding it and its goal, and at what point did you realize it had really found solid footing and then maybe have to recalibrate or raise even more the expectations about what you could do and what the group could do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we started out with Respected Sport, but I mean, basically, Wayne, when we rollerbladed across the country, we set out to build a ranch. And, you know, a couple things happened. We realized that, you know, there was nothing out there around prevention. Nobody was doing anything. We couldn't find anything across this country. And until we stumbled upon the Red Cross, and they have a Respect Ed program. And so that's why we got involved with them. And we said, we need to invest our money, the money that we raised, in prevention. And so they, you know, obviously they had the program, but they also wrote the Hockey Canada Speak Out program, which I was part of for 5 years, helping them put that whole thing together. And so we educated a lot of people, coaches, every hockey coach across this country. And then Wayne, my business partner, was the president, board chair of Alberta Gymnastics, and he put it in for Gymnastics Alberta. That training, it was classroom based, and actually came from Bob Nicholson at Hockey Canada and his team. They came to us and they said, hey, is there any way? Wayne had a technology background from way back in the day, and is there any way we can put this training online? And so we set out to do that. And so we set out to say, you know what, I think we can do this, and we need to push it. So we invested our own money. We've never got a dime from anybody as far as trying to build this. We started out with myself and Wayne and our lead technology. We built our own platform, and we started going out and train people in the first, Canada Gymnastics was our first organization, and then shortly after Sport Manitoba, which was every coach in that whole province. And so, you know, we started out with three people. We've now got 35 people, and we've gone from sport into respected school, into respect in the workplace, keeping girls in sport, coaching with all disabilities. I mean, a parent program, I mean, and we've trained, you know, like I say, 1.4 million, but we committed. I mean, we basically never took a paycheck for 7 years. And, you know, we kind of had other jobs as we were trying to get this thing going. And, you know, and what we knew was that these issues, everybody had to have a policy and a procedure, but you don't change culture in policy and procedure. You change culture by building a confidence and a language and a platform for conversation to happen within your organization. And that's what we felt we could bring to the table. And that's what we felt we needed to achieve, was not focus on the 2% of bad people. Let's focus on the 98-99% of good people and make them better. Let's create a confidence around issues that carry a lot of fear, and empower the bystander. Because most of the time when these issues are occurring, there's bystanders. So how do we give the confidence to the bystanders and the knowledge to be able to step in respectfully and diffuse any situation that might be going on?
really, really, really well. So Sheldon Kennedy is with us. And I want to ask you, you know, in something so monumental as what you did 20-plus years ago, coming forward, telling your story, I just wanted to ask you about the importance of the familial structure, family and your relationship with family, positive relationship with family, and the support the family unit can give you to be brave, be bold, and tell these kinds of stories and you know, I guess, tackle uncomfortable truths.
Yeah, I mean, well, a couple things with this. I think that family, I've come to learn that family is really important. You know, I think that one of the things that happens when a kid is going through, you know, terrible things, they tend to pull away from their family. So that's something that I've really had to work on and build, is that relationship. We've investigated over 15,000 cases at the former Sheldon Kennedy Child Advocacy Center, now the Calgary Child Advocacy Center. And sadly, 50% of the cases that we investigate happen in the home, and 98% of the kids are abused by somebody, a caregiver or somebody they know. So, you know, I think that the home can be great, and I also think that the home can be difficult. But I do know that, you know, that trusted individual. And what I do know today is that, you know, I have a strong family, and, you know, and that's where I need to lean on, and they've been with me through thick and thin. And I think the gift of being with somebody that, you know, is that you trust and that is there, and whether it be family or not, it's a place where I think we are allowed to be vulnerable. And I think that that's important, because being vulnerable means that we are letting our guard down and showing people really what's going on. And I think that's the only way we can start moving past what may be troubling us is to be vulnerable and take that risk to be vulnerable. You know, everybody says, oh, it's, I think for me, I found myself in a situation where I didn't have a choice. Either I needed to, either I, you know, started getting help, or I probably wouldn't be here. And not, you know, and I had to take the risk to give up and stop fighting and let people help me. And so I think that, you know, we can have that, you know, what I know today is that, you know, the people in my life that are closest to me, it feels good. And I need to make sure that we keep, you know, keep those people close to us.
Sheldon, before we let you go, we appreciate you having these conversations with us. On a broader note, now that you can reflect and look back on your career, what does the honor of getting inducted into the Canada Sports Hall of Fame ultimately mean to you?
Well, it means that the issues that I represent are recognized in this country as being important. And important for the way we build our games, the way we build sports within our communities. Because when we started doing this, these issues, you know, would always become second fiddle, or, you know, to other bigger issues. Whereas I think what we've realized is that, and what we've learned, that these issues are huge. And that's what this means to me ultimately, is that there's an acknowledgement that the issues that we've been advocating for over 25 years are important and critical to how we build sport and build communities across this country and the way that we address these issues.
Sheldon, this was a real pleasure chatting with you, and you know, looking back on the brave decision you made 25 years ago, and now the rewarding work that you've done. It's terrific. It's a great service to our entire country, and we thank you very much for it. And we congratulate you again wholeheartedly on the induction into the Canada Sports Hall of Fame. I know the induction's been pushed by a year, but we look forward to that entire class, and particularly your speech for that very deserved honor. Best to you, best to your family again. Thanks so much for the time, and hope to chat down the line.
Yeah, thank you, Josh and Joe.